The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Welcome back to Making Your Home Great. Now here's Dave Alexander.
This is Dave Alexander on the Roofworks campus. If you'd like to visit us, we've got Holly Bowers here. Holly, what is the official street address?
It is 5413 Hillsborough Street, Raleigh 27606, right by the fairgrounds.
And a lot of people have already come. This is a wonderful thing. Are some of these folks customers who've come in?
Oh, we've got some. We've got most family, friends.
Yeah.
To celebrate our 18th year anniversary. So this is a big day for us today.
18 years. We just heard a short announcement about fly-by-nighters. And we're probably going to play that later in the show because it bears reminding. But 18 years means you've been here for a while and you're going to be here for a while more.
Oh, yeah. That's the plan.
The plan is to help people out rather than to just force the sale.
That's right.
We
and stand against the fraud and other stuff going on in the industry.
We are at Hillsborough Street between Hillsborough.
And the train.
And the train. I love it.
Well, it's a beautiful day to be out here.
Yes. Is that headed toward us?
It's passing by right now.
There is no point in talking. There is no... Just go. Thank you. All right. Holly, people can see the showroom. Tell me about the showroom.
Yeah, the showroom is great. And the cool thing about that, we've got all the different products there, but then we've also incorporated them into this fit-up design that we did with the building.
Yeah.
So such as skylights, sun tunnels. There's a lot of things when you walk throughout the facility that you can see, and we did that so that we can show customers what it looks like actually being installed.
All right, Brock Emmons is here. He's walked through the showroom. What do you think?
I have been through their showroom. It's a beautiful design. I think Holly and the Roofworks team did an amazing job at really showing all the different materials and options that they carry as a company. And, it's hard to pick out a couch, you know, without going there and looking at all the different kinds. It's hard to pick out a car without going there and looking at all the different kinds. The same is said about a roof. There's a lot of different materials that go into that. And depending on quality, you know, a lot of customers like putting their hands on that stuff. They want to see it in person. They want to talk to somebody who's experienced in having it put in before they spend that kind of money.
And Holly, you have basically a library of roofing materials.
We do. That's for the asphalt base.
Yes.
And then for the synthetics, you got metal, cedar, synthetics, real slate, real tile. We did the awning so that you could see the difference between what a synthetic product looked like versus up next to a real product. So there was a lot of thought that we put behind this, but visually, I mean, you really need to see it visually to understand what you're buying into, and that's why we wanted that showroom. Really, in the industry, there's not many contractors that have showrooms to come and see these products,
right?
But you're spending just as much money as you are buying a new kitchen. You should be able to have somewhere to go where you can take a look at what your options are.
My wife tells me about the radio program that sometimes when people sound so good and so big, we think, oh, they must be expensive. They must, you know, they're quality this and quality that. Holly, tell me, do you have Cheapo Depot shingles here?
I mean, we've got the brands that we believe in, if that makes sense. I mean, if we have a customer that wants a particular brand, we can certainly install it. But just knowing the pros and cons of each product, that's the education part that we just want to make sure that you know what you're buying into.
And a lot of times you will suggest CertainTeed. And why is that?
We will. I mean, like we've talked about many times before, I mean, we just we back CertainTeed. We believe CertainTeed is the best asphalt shingle on the market with the best warranties, and we're going to stand behind the products that we think are the best and longest lasting and most proven.
And on the package, what piece of information tells us, the consumer, that something is higher quality?
Well,
is it mill? Is it weight?
I think the weight. First, with asphalt, it's the weight. I mean, the weight of the shingle is going to help it last longer.
Sure.
And then like I said, it's really, there's so many determining factors. I think Brock can speak to that as far as what's going to last, what's not going to last. But a lot of it does come down to installation methods too, because how you install it, what you use to install it is going to make that roof last or not last. So that plays a big factor in it as well.
Well, you know, underlayment is a big one, and, right. and what kind of materials you're using on the hips and valleys, and what type of shingle you're going with. I mean, people think a roof, and they're like, oh, it's the shingle. No, it's a system. There's a lot of different variables that go into a roof that make it an efficient system.
Right.
So, yes, when it comes to the asphalt shingles, it's typically based on weight. The more it weighs, the thicker the material, right? So it's going to give you typically a better warranty and a better life expectancy. But only if it's installed properly, and only if it's installed with the correct components that are required to install it with, you know, to get the warranty in the first place. So, look, there's a lot of car makers out there, and I love using the car analogy, but there's a lot of car makers out there that are reputable brands,
yeah,
right? But you wouldn't buy one over another, because you know this is the better, higher quality vehicle. This is going to break down in a few years. This one's going to last you a decade. So it just comes down to quality and knowledge on how to install the material correctly.
I remember a guy in my high school class bought a Yugo.
I remember the Yugos.
It was a couple of $1,000. He said, I can't turn it down.
Yeah.
But then he couldn't use it after, you know,
a week
uh-huh. or so. So you don't want to buy the Yugo, but there are also so many different choices of top quality.
Yeah, there are. And I think what people don't really realize is the ventilation system that's installed with that roof plays a huge part. So you could buy into a true 50-year shingle, but you don't have proper ventilation, that roof is not going to last.
My neighborhood has, you know, every fifth house is the same house. They just twist it a little bit, and it's down the road. You don't recognize your own house down the road. But there are hip roofs with no ventilation other than this ridge vent.
Yeah, tiny little ridge.
Tiny little ridge. I mean, it's not really tiny. It's the length of the house minus the hip roofs, right?
So, yeah, a hip roof is typically a roof that kind of looks like a pyramid.
Right.
It's got four sides that all kind of come up to one point, which is a beautiful design. It gives you a very tall attic. You're able to get in there. There's lots of space to utilize for storage.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the outtake ventilation.
Yes.
Attics need intake ventilation and outtake ventilation. So your intake is your soffit vents.
Yes.
And even if you have soffit vents, if you blow in all your insulation over the soffit vent, you've eliminated your intake. So that's why you normally want to have baffles in the attic to ensure there's airflow getting up past the insulation.
All right. I installed this.
You
once.
Did.
I did this once.
Yeah.
And you absolutely cannot check it for yourself unless you plan on pulling down the batted insulation.
Yeah.
But we'll do it in reverse order. Underneath the baffled or the rolled insulation, there should be a plastic or foam-like channel for air.
For airflow to get past the insulation into the attic, and then your outtake ventilation, which is either a ridge vent or a powered fan, solar or electric. That's a way to get that heat out.
Yeah.
But, you know, to your point, when you have a hip roof, you've got this 2,000 square foot attic, but the ridge at the top where you can put a ridge vent is about 5 feet long.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, those attics get very, very hot.
We're going to talk to Holly Bowers about why that matters. Because, you know, it's asphalt. Gosh, this is asphalt.
Damage. Yep.
This is asphalt. I mean, this is in the sunshine. The parking lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right, we'll talk about why the temperature in your attic matters to your roof in just a little bit. We are at RoofWorks, and the number is, for the address is?
It's 5413 Hillsborough Street.
5413 Hillsborough Street, right near the fairgrounds, not far from Burke Brothers Hardware, and we are going to be here for a full 2 hours. Love to see you here. There's food.
There's
drink.
Yep.
A lot of people are still coming in. And this event continues. How long? I mean, you're going to continue at least till 2, I know that.
Yep, it's 11 to 2 today.
11 to 2, all right. You're welcome to stop by Roofworks and tune in and also join us here on FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF. FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF. This is Making Your Home Great, live at Roofworks at 20-something, what is it?
5413.
What is it?
Hillsborough Street.
5413.
5413.
20-something.
Yeah, that was close. It was close. We're not far from the fairgrounds, near Burke's Works, near Burke's Hardware. And we've got Derwin Manis here. Derwin, you're one of the owners.
That's correct.
You send Holly out because Holly is very knowledgeable in her stuff.
That's She's right. the hammer.
She's the hammer.
Holly the hammer.
We literally on her are at her parking spot, and it says, no parking, the hammer.
Yeah, she's got the – I love that sign.
There's a sign. It's set aside. Why is she so important?
Well, Holly is so vibrant and so energetic.
Yes.
And, you know, she says it all the time. She says, I bleed Roofworks, and she really does.
Yeah.
And that's important, and I think it carries over to everybody in the company.
Very
good. And when you have somebody like that, it's it sets a standard. And not only, I mean, it's real. You can't make it up.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to be admired, but it's also something for, let's say, younger people that come into the company, they see it.
Right.
And we hope that they want to emulate that.
We were talking just before the break about the fact that we have asphalt shingles going on our roof, but we really should, at the same time, think about the attic insulation and ventilation. Why is that?
Well, if you don't have a properly ventilated roof system, we call it a roof system, then you're putting on shingles that won't last. And in our climate, and especially right now, it's not hot today, but it's humid.
Yeah. It's very humid today.
And so humidity plays a big role in it as well. But,
yes.
You know, you have that factor. I said humidity, but even in the winter, if you don't have a ventilated roof system, you have moisture retention in
right.
an attic space. So you want good soffit vent and you want good attic, good ridge ventilation. So
right.
they work hand in hand.
Brock spends a fair amount of time in attics, even on sunny days.
Yeah.
And the temperature is up to what?
I mean, it gets hot. That same hip roof we were just talking about, the hottest that I've temped here in North Carolina was either last year or the year before in August. It was a 94-degree day. He did not have good ventilation.
Right.
Had this tiny little ridge vent, and his attic temped up at 151, which, you know, look, that's hot enough to cause major damage to
right.
everything you have in the attic, let alone the shingles and everything else, which is why a lot of, you know, shingle manufacturers, it's written into their warranty that there has to be a certain type of ventilation in the attic to get the warranty, because
yes.
they know it can cook. You can cook the shingle if you're not getting that hot air out of there. So it's very, very important.
Derwin, we mentioned warranty. We want to get – I am a belt and suspenders guy. I want a guarantee from you that your installation – is excellent, which I think I can get from you. I also want a warranty if the manufacturer says we can warranty that for 30 years. I want that. How do I get it?
Well, we on this show, Holly, myself,
yeah.
we've talked a lot about warranty, but the thing is, the warranty is really hand in hand with us installing it properly and then being backed up by a manufacturer. So every manufacturer is going to give you a out of the box warranty that says 30, 50
yeah.
lifetime. But that's only as good as that manufacturer. Just like us as an installer, it's only as good as the company. So the manufacturer is giving you a warranty, and we go with CertainTeed
right.
9 times out of 10 because CertainTeed has the best warranty in the business.
And you've got a relationship with CertainTeed that they've checked you out. They're making sure that you're doing quality work.
Yeah, those guys that are eating right now out there, our guys, they get trained by a certain teed.
Yeah.
So we have to have training each year, and they have to pass a classification that certain teed puts out for installation. And they go through the installation manual and pass that test. So when they pass that test, they say they're following certain teed guidelines. And then certain teed also spot checks you.
So really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying they're checking every job. They don't do that. They couldn't.
Right.
But they do some spot checking. And if you've got a contractor that's not abiding by it, then they're not going to certify them. They're not going to stand by them.
If you ever went through the process with CertainTeed or whatever, is it likely that somebody other than you and RoofWorks would take a look at the roof and say, okay, this is the, you know, this was done, this wasn't done? I mean, before they write a check for a new roof inside my 30 years, they're going to want to look at it, won't they?
Are you saying like somebody does after the job is installed?
After it's done.
After it's done. Well, you know, most of the time, you're not getting an inspection after the job's done. What we do, we offer every residential customer, we offer them an inspection. Now, we're doing it in-house, mind you.
Yeah.
But we do catch things even on ourselves. And we provide that with pictures. And it's a point inspection where we go through the flashing detail, the nailing pattern, the cap, the ventilation. And we're certifying that we did these things. And sometimes, honestly, we're going to catch things that we miss.
Right.
And they have to be corrected before they pay us and before we give them that warranty.
There's nothing wrong with doing in-house final inspections.
Yeah.
A company that implements a final inspection after an install is not normally the same company who's then just going to bypass when they find problems, not pointing them out.
It's
So the fact that they installed that, we do that with our company as well. It's just a way to ensure that the clients that we have are getting exactly what they paid for and they're not getting taken advantage of. And we understand mistakes happen. When we say taken advantage of, I'm not talking about maliciously.
Right.
But if there's a mistake that happens and it doesn't actually show itself for quite some time, we want to try to catch those things in the front end to ensure that everything was done properly. So them sending out RoofWorks employees to verify work was done properly just speaks to the quality that these guys are really trying to focus on.
Right. And you've got very, like, a, you know, you can touch the shingles here. I'm not looking through a catalog, because I went through it with an insurance job, I don't know, 5-10 years ago. And the people who knocked on my door had a three-color catalog, but not much more than that. I was very limited on my choice. How many types of, ignoring for a moment metal roofs that we'll talk about today, and cedar roofs, which I can't afford, and what's the other one, slate?
Slate, tile.
Slate, yeah, I can't afford that either. I could do that over the outhouse, but that's about it. All right. Ignoring those, how many different choices do I have here?
In shingles?
In shingles.
Well, in shingles, I like to tell people now, architectural, or the term architectural or dimensional shingles, that's the starter shingle now. And then you get into designer type shingles. And in designer shingles right now, there's probably, and this is off the top of my head, you're probably talking about 8 to 9 different types.
Right.
Because architectural shingles were really brought into the marketplace to mimic sort of a shake-type look.
Okay.
That texture look, that layered look. But then you got shingles that are designed to look like slate. You got shingles that are designed to look like tile.
Really?
Yeah.
And then different colors.
And colors.
Of all
multiple
of those.
Colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they've come up. And then they've introduced some shingles over the years that failed. I don't mean they failed in performance. They just failed in market.
Right.
You know, people didn't like them. You know?
Yeah.
So they're constantly trying to come up with a different look.
Yeah.
So there's a lot out there.
We were this close to choosing a green, pale green, not pale green, but forest green with black shingle. My wife talked me out of it. She said, no, no, no. I want a blue house. I'm like, yeah, well, can't do that, baby. We can't do both colors at once. We're going to talk after the break about unscrupulous or untalented people, just for a little bit, not for a long time.
You love
I mean,
that.
Not everybody is really good at what they do.
True.
It's, you know, and occasionally there are people who are desperate. Yesterday they were painters, and then today they're roofers, and tomorrow they're going to be sending faxes and notarizing paper.
Yeah, fake it till you make it.
You just keep going till you find your niche. I don't mind those folks. I just don't want them working on my house. And we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up. This is Making Your Home Great from the Roofworks offices at
5413 Hillsborough Street.
This is Making Your Home Great. FM 98.5, AM 680 WPTF. We are at Roofworks under a wonderful canopy. You know, if the sun clears out, we're moving the canopy. We're just no point in doing radio and not working on my tan.
It is nice out here. It's
very nice. So come on out. There's going to be no rain during the broadcast. We already got special assurances from the National Weather Service that the rain is later. Okay? Come out to Roofworks. Take a walk through the showroom, which is another great feature of Roofworks. Derwin Manis is here. Derwin, I want you to listen to an announcement. It just came up. In other words, nobody planned for this to be arriving during this show, but it did just before the show started. Let's listen to the public service announcement.
Damage caused by tornadoes is devastating and traumatic. After these storms, dishonest contractors show up hoping to make a quick buck from your insurance claim. They'll promise anything if they can get you to sign a contract, collect your payment in advance, and ultimately do no work at all. Avoid being the victim of contractor fraud. Get estimates from at least 3 contractors. Check references, and remember, if you didn't request it, reject it.
To report fraud, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB. This is a public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
All right. Holly was very excited to hear that on the radio because you guys fight this all the time.
We do.
You're, again, like we say, a person doesn't need to start their career doing my roof. They want somebody who's experienced, right?
Right.
And they got the right sales attitude. Tell me about your philosophy for, you know, selling a job and getting it done.
Well, I think I look at it from a, obviously we want to make money. We wouldn't be in business if we did. And those guys want to make money doing it.
Right.
But it's two different ways of going about it. We look at it as education.
Yeah.
You know, if you as a homeowner we want to service people that have storms and have damage to the roof. So if that's the case, then if they call us, we're going to go out and we're going to, let's say you had damage on your roof, or you think you did.
Yep.
We're going to go out there if you call us. We're not going to knock on your door and say, hey, we think you've had damage. Let us get up on your roof and look at it.
Right.
That's not the way to go about it, because if we do that, then we're a little bit sketchy. You know, we're sketchy in the sense of saying we are creating it or we're insinuating it.
Right.
That's not the way. So our guys are going to come out if you ask us.
Yeah.
We're going to evaluate it. And if it is storm damage, we're going to say to you, we think you need to call your insurance.
Yeah.
Get your insurance to get an adjuster out here. And if the adjuster says, yeah, Dave, you've got damage,
right,
then at that point, they're going to evaluate it and tell you what they think the roof is worth for replacement. At that point, we'll get involved. We'll give you advice, and we'll say, here's choices for you.
Right.
And that's the way to go about it. It's the only way to go about it.
And it is, in my situation, there were signs that went up all over the neighborhood. So-and-so repair place, and they're going to, you know, replace this roof. It is conceivable that 3 out of 10 houses in the neighborhood got damaged and the other ones didn't.
That's very much the case. And the reason that is age. Brock could tell you, age of the roof,
yeah.
If it gets hit, it's an older roof, it's probably going to be damaged.
Yeah.
If it's a newer roof, odds are it probably didn't get damaged unless it's massive size hail.
Sure.
So that plays into it. And if you truly have damage, then yes, you should get help from your insurance.
Right.
But if you didn't, it's fraud.
Right.
Right.
Plain and simple, it's fraud. And you shouldn't have to be involved in that. And an honest person doesn't want to be involved in that.
Right.
We had a guy tell us,
yeah.
Matter of fact, that's wanted to come work for us.
Yeah.
And he interviewed with us for a sales position. And he, you know what he said?
What?
He said, I'd like to work for you guys because I know how you operate. And it made us feel good. But the thing he said that made us laugh, he said, I'm tired of fearing having a shotgun put in my face when I knock on doors.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Because he's knocking on doors.
Knocking on doors.
He's, you know, it's not a, that's not a way to start a sales relationship.
Yeah.
Well, it boils down to the cost of marketing. Typically, people who are knocking on doors,
right.
They're telling their employees, hey, look, you need to generate business, so we need you out there knocking neighborhoods.
Right.
Doesn't cost them anything. Then these sales guys are commission-based, so when the job sells, they end up getting a paycheck.
Right.
It, you know, we're sitting in a brick-and-mortar location right now for RoofWorks.
Right.
Large parking lot, plenty of parking spots.
They've got
a showroom inside.
They didn't let us inside.
We're
in the parking lot.
They kept us out here in
the
street.
We're the radio people.
Where we
you know,
belong.
We're kind of dirty.
When you get established companies, that's not how they market the company. Because to be frank, statistically speaking, if you knock on 500 homes, how many of them actually you end up selling a roof? Like 2, 3? So it's a very poor waste of time, but it doesn't cost the business any money.
Right.
They're just sending out their staff to go knock neighborhoods in the hopes that they can stir up some business.
Yeah.
So just be cautious of that. You know, look, we put yard signs out, but we don't knock doors.
Right.
I'll put a yard sign out for a customer. We just insulated their attic or, you know, fully encapsulated their crawl space.
Right.
And we only keep that sign there for a week until I come out to do the final inspection and I take the sign with me.
Sure.
So any other neighbors that are interested can call us. But I do not let my guys go knock on customers' doors.
Right.
I can't stand it when I'm sitting on the couch trying to watch a game and somebody knocks on my door trying to sell me something. So I'm not going to have my guys do that to anybody else. And Derwin feels the same way. He's not having his team go out there and chase down leads in neighborhoods on a Saturday when you're supposed to be relaxing.
Right. And, you know, I used to work for a water company. Not the major water company, but, you know, people who would soften your water or whatever. And I was calling 50 people a night, and I would book maybe one appointment.
Yeah. It's just...
Because people just said, no, go away.
Right.
And I don't blame them. So the other part of the equation is people who are not as experienced or perhaps not as skilled. Everybody's got to start somewhere. Derwin, you get people who are starting.
Right.
You know, they didn't do roofs before. What's the process of getting them up to speed?
Well, one, if we have somebody, let's say that's green.
Yeah.
Then they're put with a foreman,
right.
And they're trained, and they're starting truly ground level. A lot of those guys are starting on the ground.
Yeah.
And so they're learning what roofing is. And in our business, if you're not comfortable being on a roof, you're not going to be on a roof. That's sort of the – so first they got to be able to be on a roof. And that's a big hurdle in our business. Once that happens, then they start learning the basics of roofing, and they go from there. And the skill guys are the ones that are doing that detail work, flashing chimneys, you know, putting in valleys and doing the real hard detail work.
Right.
You know, laying the shingles is the beginning stuff.
Right.
But doing the flashing and doing the hard counter flashing and doing brick and work and stuff like that,
right.
That's the detail stuff. That's the veteran guys.
I've heard job sites that sound like machine guns going off. and they got the nail guns, and they're going boom, 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 boom. Is that good?
It's fine if you know what you're doing.
I was going to say it's skill-based.
Yeah. I mean, plenty of guys use nail guns,
yep.
And that's pretty much the industry now. And we're fine using nail guns, but it's just about, are you doing it correctly? It's pressure.
Right.
And it's are you just slapping them on, or are you staying in the nail line? The shingle has a nail line that is dedicated to put it in that area. If you don't put it in that area, that shingle probably won't show up for about 5 years, but then it's going to slide off that roof.
Yep.
Right. Well, let's help the other contractors, or perhaps not skilled. Let's help them out. What should I set the nail? I mean, what should they set the nail gun at? I mean, what's appropriate? Or is it different per shingle?
It's different per what they're using, too,
yeah.
The guns.
Yeah.
And that's, they got to set it per what the manufacturer of that gun says.
Oh.
And that's, but see, the thing is, you talk about quality. That's what's lacking. If you talk about a storm, I use the term storm chaser.
Yeah.
They don't really care about any of that. We have to care about it because what Brock just said about sitting in this parking lot right now, this building, and,
yep.
and what Will and I have established here, if we go and do shoddy work,
mm-hmm.
we're in trouble.
Yeah, they're going to come find you.
They'll find us.
Mm. And they'll find you on the radio.
Yeah, they'll find you right here.
Guess what? Nobody found you on the radio yet. Nobody called up and said to Holly, oh, yeah, you guys did a, you know, maybe 80% job. You didn't do 100%. And here's why. Nobody.
Well, here's the reality. We're going to mess up.
Yep.
And when we mess up, it's how we correct it.
Right.
And that's what it, but when those guys mess up, they could be in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Texas, Florida.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge, I mean, again, I don't have the roofing experience here in North Carolina like I did in Texas, but, you know, there's a hailstorm every 10 minutes in Texas. It's a huge hail state.
Yeah.
And there are roofers that are coming from Louisiana and Oklahoma and Arkansas, and they make the trip to knock on that neighborhood, get 5 to 10 roofs, knock them out real quick, and then they're gone. They're back in their home state.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's a lot. Like, it's a serious problem. Now, luckily, we don't have the hailstorms here like we do a little bit further south. However, the wind storms here can be something fierce.
Yeah.
And that can definitely cause damage to your roof. No, it can. I've got a 30-year shingle. Or I've got a 40-year shingle. You ever seen what a tornado does to a house?
Yeah.
Your roof warranty's gone, okay? When Mother Nature lights a fire, get out of the way. So as long as we're not dealing with major weather events, yes, your roof is going to last a long time if it's installed properly.
Yeah. And you folks have inspection programs and maintenance programs for people's roofs. Now, when should somebody sign up for that?
Yeah, I would sign up for it as soon as you finish doing my new roof.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would. And I hope they do.
Right.
Because at that point, 1 year in, have us inspect your roof. And the reason I say that is we're not expecting that anything's wrong with the new roof, but what we're saying is Mother Nature, critters, all kinds of things happen. But also, in that inspection, we're going to clean the roof. We're going to get debris off the roof. We're going to get it out of your valleys and where it's going to clog stuff up and cause a problem. So that's why the inspection happens.
In a lot of ways, you talk about valleys and the, you got a special term for it, things that poke through the roof.
Pipe boots.
The pipe boots.
Yeah.
I called them
plumbing
jack boots on the last show. Pipe boots and everything that intrudes, everything that cuts through. Is that where most of the trouble starts?
Yeah. Leaks, that's probably the number one leak we go out on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagined being a contractor in roofing. And, of course, you know those metal things, all those boots and valleys and things. You can just pound them out and use them again. That's what I heard anyway.
Is it?
In Roofing School 101.
Is that what they said on Google?
That's what they said on Google. I took I watched a YouTube thing.
Oh, you can caulk it, right?
You can caulk. Right. I get whatever caulk I've got. I get, whether it's ceramic or tar-based, it doesn't matter. I just slap that sucker on and it's not going to move.
Exactly.
Then I nail it down.
Anybody who's ever had a roof leak,
yeah,
fixing the leak is not the expensive part. It's fixing the damage the leak caused. So
yes,
when one of these pipe boots start leaking and that water drains down the length of the pipe through the attic, it gets absorbed by the insulation in the attic, and you don't know it's there until 4 or 5 days later when the water's gotten so bad you now have a big stain on your ceiling. Well, replacing that pipe boot, you know, that's not very much money at all, but now you're out $500 to $1,000 to repair all the water damage that that caused. So that's why you have these guys come out once or twice a year, because if they catch that, oh, yeah, it looks like the rubber base around this is starting to deteriorate, probably want to get this replaced.
Right.
Okay, you know, I'm out a little bit of money now, but, man, that just saved me nearly $1,000 in repairs.
And just to reemphasize, because sometimes my sarcasm is so subtle that people don't notice. Attention, WPTF listeners. They need to replace all the metal on your roof when they replace the shingles.
Without a doubt.
And if they don't, aren't they voiding a warranty? Could be.
That's the sad thing. They'll let that slide. But that's why when we do a CertainTeed 5-star warranty, that's the best in the business. We replace everything. We replace all the flashing anyway.
Yeah.
But we sell them being the homeowner on that 5-star warranty, because everything's replaced. And so there's no questions. There's no he said, she said.
All right. Derwin Manis is here from Roofworks. You're also hearing from Brock Emmons. I'm Dave Alexander. We'll get Holly back on at some point. We're going to be on for the full 2 hours talking about roofing and how to make your roof last longer and what to do if you look up and say, yeah, that don't look right. And I do that all the time. I look up and I say, well, maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. I wonder if I called an expert, would they come out? We'll talk about that. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, making your home great. Why do we sound so funny? Because we're on a live broadcast from Roofworks at 5413. I got it. In between the 2 hours, I'm going to get this done. 5413. What's the road again?
Hillsborough Street.
The one right in front of the fairgrounds and not far from our friends at Burke Brothers Hardware on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. Everybody putting headphones on. We are ready to go. We are live at Roofworks, 5413.
Hillsborough
Street.
You got it.
Golly.
Right down from the fairgrounds.
Out of the second or third commercial break. We got it now.
Amen. I've got some a gift certificate to High Park Bar and Grill. And if you are interested in that, call us up right now, and we will get you on the radio. 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783. You got to have a question about roofing. Will Hayes is here. So glad you're here. Talk to me about the showroom, because that's something that people don't, you know, not everybody has.
Sure. Now, it's definitely one of the features we have that we bring to this market, where customers can come in and see all the different options.
Yeah.
The sample boards and things that other contractors bring out, they're, I guess, heavy and cumbersome, and you can't bring everything to somebody's house.
Sure.
So having the showroom, they can see all the different products, colors, styles.
Right. The other thing is you've got a metal shop, and you're going to have an expanded metal shop in 2024. What's going on there?
We opened a metal shop 2 years ago, and then we just recently acquired the building behind our current office, and we're going to move all the equipment into there. And so we'll be able to produce metal not only for our jobs, but for other smaller contractors and other roofing contractors.
Really? And what kind of metal are you? Is it the boots and the channels?
not exactly the boots, but
no.
Roofing requires lots of different flashings, especially commercial roofing.
Yeah.
So all your drip edges, copings, things like that.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. You have the equipment to do the drip edge?
We do. We have hydraulic folding machines and shears. And
I didn't know that.
The whole works.
And for folks listening at home, wondering about drip edge, it is a small but important piece of your roof. And it runs along the outside edge. And if you don't have it, you probably need it. Am I correct there?
It goes around all the perimeter edges.
Right.
And it's not required by any of the manufacturers, but it's just good practice and protects your fascia boards.
That's right. If you don't want to mess with replacing your fascia every 3 years, then you're probably going to want to have drip edge.
Fascia is what?
Fascia is the vertical area, basically up from the gutter. Normally the gutter is mounted to the side of the fascia.
Okay.
But if you don't have drip edge, the volume of water that's coming off those shingles, the drip edge kind of flares out at the bottom, which helps the water stay off of the fascia.
Right.
And without that, I mean, it's very rarely do you find a roof that doesn't have drip edge that isn't, you know, have a little bit of fascia damage over the years due to water.
Right.
And speaking of that, you guys do gutters.
We do.
Okay.
So K-style, half round, custom. We can fabricate whatever profile you want.
So I got a customer that we're doing their crawl space. They brought us out and brand new roof, brand new gutters, lot buried downspouts that carry them away, lot of water in the crawl space. 10-12 pitch, 4-inch gutters. What's the problem?
Not enough capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the gutter too small to handle that volume of water.
And so it's just shooting right over the top of it.
Right.
Either it shoots over the top or it gets clogged in the downspout. It's kind of like if you turn a Coke bottle upside down, the water doesn't flow out because it's constrained by the top of the bottle.
See, you have to know what size gutters to put on your house. That's a very important thing to know based on the pitch.
I want the biggest and baddest that's of them all. What?
We're looking at a really good gutter system here on RoofWorks' building.
Well, it would be embarrassing if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, sorry, the showroom's closed. We got a leak.
Yeah.
It'll be a week or two. We'll be fine. That'd be awful, wouldn't it, Will?
It would. Yeah. But to Brock's point, the gutter and downspout does prevent a lot of crawl space problems. So you're getting that water away from your house.
Right. And otherwise Brock is going to come to your house. And Brock, you're probably talking about crawl spaces. If you find that, you're probably going to beg them to remediate it before you do anything else.
Yeah, when we run into a water issue in the crawl space, unfortunately, most people are under the impression that sealing your crawl space or encapsulating your crawl space keeps out groundwater.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. I've been in lots of crawl spaces that are fully encapsulated that are under 6 inches of water.
Huh.
So when it comes to a crawl space, if you have a slab foundation, you want to water the foundation to help prevent surface cracks throughout the house. But if you're on a crawl space, you want water pushed away from the property. Okay, if it's not, that water can oversaturate the foundation wall. It goes down below the retention wall and comes up in your crawl space as bulk groundwater, which can cause all kinds of problems.
It's not just moisture.
No, it's not just moisture.
It's bulk groundwater.
So I could go into this customer's house and say, hey, you've got a moisture issue down here. We need to remediate the mold and seal the crawl space. And then when it's under 6 inches of water after the next major storm, I can say, oh, yeah, sorry. Sealing the crawl space doesn't prevent that. I can tell them up front, this is your problem. This is how you get it corrected. So we've got cause and effect. Let's fix the cause. Then I will come in and remediate the effect and leave that environment in a better shape than it was before I got here.
And the solution for some maybe a larger
gutter for that one.
Gutter.
Yeah, for that customer. Or gutters, period. I mean, look, there's a lot of houses around here. You'll drive through the neighborhoods and look around, you realize there's no gutters on them. I know what their crawl space looks like before I even get down there.
All right. Gentlemen, we're going to be right back after our news. Will Hayes, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, we are at RoofWorks. Call for a question and win a High Park Bar and Grill gift certificate from Making Your Home Great, FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF.
Following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Welcome back to Making Your Home Great. Now here's Dave Alexander.
By the way, it's Holly's kid.
Is it?
Yes.
I was going to say, we had that, a couple of months ago she came on and did that.
That is wonderful. All right, we are at RoofWorks for Making Your Home Great, FM 98.5, AM 680 WPTF, Brock Emmons, and Will Hayes from RoofWorks. We should talk about the other more difficult types of roofs, because if you guys can do a slate roof, you can do a asphalt shingles. Yeah?
Of course. Slate and tile are some of our favorite types of roof.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're somewhat cost prohibitive for the average homeowner.
I understand, yeah. The other part is that you do specialty metal work, and did the copper on the top of the New Bern, what was it?
The New Bern Courthouse.
New Bern Courthouse.
Oh, that was y'all?
Yeah.
You guys did the copper work
there? Copper
dome. Looks great.
It's a pretty cool project.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how to do that. Were they cut on the ground and then put up? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
We actually we had to scaffold the entire project.
Yeah.
And then via crane hoisted all the metal folding equipment up on top and created our own workspace.
Yep.
Wow.
That's really cool. I love copper work. Seeing it, you know, when it's done correctly, it just really changes the look of any building. A lot of the homes that'll put up the copper gutters or they'll do the exposed copper valleys. I mean, that just really makes it pop.
It does. The copper bay windows.
Oh yeah.
Really
yeah.
stand out. Mm-hmm. Make your home pop.
Do you put something on it to prevent the patina, or do you let it go like a penny or like the Statue of Liberty?
There are products that you can put on copper to, I guess, prevent that patina action.
Help to prevent. I wouldn't say prevent, but it kind of helps.
You know, if you drive around, you'll notice that some copper looks really poor because it's splotchy, because that varnish or whatever product, the polyurethane that you put on to prevent that wears away, and then your copper wears unevenly.
What do you suggest then?
Suggest just leave it natural.
Yeah.
Let it weather. I mean, copper is beautiful.
Right.
I mean, most of your metal products are actually, I guess, made to look like different stages of copper.
Right.
Whether it's medium bronze, dark bronze.
Yeah.
And then finally the patina green, which, you know, happens after probably 50 years.
Yeah, it's a
here,
long time.
Maybe at the coast with, you know, the addition of salt.
Yeah, a day and a half, yes.
Not quite that soon. You can't accelerate it.
Well, okay. Is that as effective as the metals that ordinarily go in the valleys and so forth?
Well, copper is one of the, I guess, longest lasting metals, and it's, like I said, very natural. The other, your aluminum and steel products, they're going to have a paint finish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that paint finish is going to wear away. It's certainly going to fade.
Right.
You know, the metal itself will, you know, perform for probably 75 years. But if you ever drive through the country, you'll see barns that are basically falling down.
Right.
And they have, you know, steel metal roofs on them that have rusted out, but the metal itself is still protecting the building.
Right. Right. The program is Making Your Home Great. We're on with Will Hayes and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. Brock, let's talk about crawl spaces.
Sure.
You're anxious about this conversation. Talk to me about moisture 2 days after a rainstorm, should there be any moisture underneath my house?
I mean, should there be?
Yeah.
No, you don't want moisture underneath your house.
How about when it's raining?
No, you don't want moisture under your house ever. Now,
okay.
If you have moisture underneath your house, whether it's raining or not raining,
yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about on the show before, you know, a lot of people are under the impression the highest humidity is when it's 100 degrees and sunny.
Okay.
It's days like today.
It's really?
Where the temperature's 60, 65 degrees, cloudy and wet. You can nearly smell the humidity in the air.
Yeah.
Okay, those are the days when typically underneath the house is very moist if you don't have or have not taken steps to prevent that from happening, whether it be gutter-related. You're getting too much water underneath the house. The gutters either need to be installed or the proper size needs to be installed.
Right.
And sometimes it's something a little bit more difficult to gauge. You know, the
right.
house is at the bottom of the hill. And there's a lot of water that comes down that hill into the front, and you got to do exterior drainage to relocate that water before it causes damage. So it's just about finding the cause. What is causing this, and what steps can be taken to get it prevented?
I almost bought that house.
Yeah.
The one that's at the bottom of the hill.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize what it was doing. I'm like, oh, this is a wonderful spot for a house. They're building one here.
Till you're there in a monsoon of a rainstorm, and you're like, oh, all the water in the neighborhood ends in my driveway.
That's exactly
got a
right.
better deal on the house.
Yeah.
Yes, I probably did get a better deal. But we walked away from it.
Yeah.
And that probably was a good decision. Don't buy at the bottom of the hill unless what?
Well, drainage. There's a lot of my customers have the houses at the bottom of the hill. The
yeah.
difference is right where the garage basically goes into the driveway, there's a linear drain that
yes.
was put into the cement that's connected to a French drain on the left side of the driveway, and that carries it down the outside of the house to the back.
Yeah.
Doing box drains, proper French drains on the outside. So there's a lot of steps that can be taken to, you know, to correct that problem if that's a problem you're having.
Right.
But it can be an expensive problem.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that it's done correctly. Otherwise,
rather have the builder take care of it.
Most of the time, yes. You want to have that stuff done during the construction of the driveway, not after the fact.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot cheaper at that point. But, you know, something to keep an eye out for if you're out shopping for a home. This is North Carolina, and boy, we get rain.
Yeah.
And it's a big problem without proper drainage. So,
and unfortunately, builders don't like to put more expense into the house than they have to.
Totally
no.
understood. I totally understood. How about the roof? Will, are they spending the money that they should on the roof?
Of course
or they
not.
They're just buying.
They're taking the cheapest option
bare
that
minimum.
They can take.
Bare minimum to get out. All these three tabs, you see that roof over there? That's a three-tab shingle.
Yeah.
That's normally what you're going to run into builder grade. Typically,
okay.
good roofing companies don't even carry that unless it's specifically requested.
Right.
Really no need to with the cost differential between three tabs and
right.
architectural is pretty and minimal.
And yeah. just to review, architectural are always heavier?
Well, they're certainly always heavier.
Right.
It's a two-piece laminated shingle versus a single layer with the three tab.
Okay. Two-piece laminated.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
One right on top of the other?
Correct.
Okay.
You know, it's part of the manufacturing process
yeah, yeah.
is they seal them together.
Right.
And it, you know, so basically you're getting two layers of protection.
Which is why it weighs so much more. You're getting
right.
more
right.
asphalt, more material, thicker material, higher quality.
Okay. And, that makes sense.
And I think Rich with CertainTeed is getting ready to join.
Is he?
And he can... Oh. You know, elaborate on the shingle manufacturing process.
It's important to choose a good quality roofing company, but it's just as important to pick out a good quality roof.
That's
yeah?
correct. I mean, there, you know, obviously lots of roofing company options,
yeah.
as well as manufacturer options, and you kind of you get what you pay for.
I thought builder quality. Sounded like a positive thing
mm-hmm.
until we had you guys on. It's like, well, there's our builder quality, but
I think they use that term for a reason.
Yeah, it also depends on the builder. I know builders that they're not even interested in touching the house unless it's over $500,000.
Right.
Because they do high-end everything, nice floors and the rounded doorways. But no, your run-of-the-mill builder, right. No. He's got a budget that he's on.
Yeah.
And he knows what he wants to sell the house for. He knows what it's going to cost him to put it together using the basic materials. And any upgrade after that comes out of his profit margin. So most of the time, unfortunately, unless you request a higher quality roof.
Right.
Unless you request your crawl space be built encapsulated.
Right.
These guys are not going to be even recommending that because they want to get the job knocked out, finished, collect the pay, give you a handshake, and move on to the next one.
Yeah, right. That makes sense. Dave from Raleigh is on the line. Dave, hello. How you doing? Dave, you're on the air with Will Hayes and Dave Alexander. And the tall Texan to my right is Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. Dave, are you there now?
We lost Dave.
I can hear in the background the smashing of buttons. Is that button going to work?
Desperately no? Trying to find Dave.
We're trying to find Dave. Dave's alive. He's just stuck in our phone system. Not a big deal. Dave, you've won a High Park gift certificate. I assume you have a question, and when we clear you and get you on the radio, we'll tell you how you can get this. High Park Bar and Grill, of course, a terrific place. If you want to shoot a game of pool, very inexpensive. If, on the other hand, you want a fine dining experience without the fine dining price tag, honestly, you can be in and out in this $25 gift certificate. And not go crazy on things. Ask about the fish. Ask about the fish. They've got what, spare ribs?
They do. It's good food.
It's one of the better lunches.
It really
in town.
Is. Yeah,
Meat
it
and
is.
Three, one of the few places that still offers that.
That's great. All right. So Dave, we'll find you and put you on the radio. We're talking about roofs here because we're at Roofworks at Hillsborough Street, 5413 Hillsborough Street, not far from the Burke Brothers Hardware. I can visualize the words. I just can't make them come out of my head. And we are talking about roofs. A good quality roof is going to weigh how much?
How many squares are we talking here?
Exactly.
I don't want to lift the whole
typically
thing.
Typically, you're looking at about 230 pounds per square, which is a 10 by 10 area.
Is that what the package is?
I guess depending on the shingle that you pick.
Okay. They package them differently.
Correct. Yeah. Some shingles come three bundles to a square. Some of your more high-end designer shingles could even be six bundles to a square.
Now, are you guys going old school and throwing up a ladder, tossing it over your shoulder and going up there with it? Or are you guys using heavy equipment?
Of course, I do that every day. Unfortunately, OSHA requires us to go with the Lativator system.
It's called a Lativator?
Boy, it makes the job so much easier.
It
you
does.
Remember the old school?
I've been in it a long time. Actually, had a guy that could take three bundles on his shoulder and walk up the ladder.
Good heavens.
I couldn't take one bundle to the back of my truck.
You know where he is now? He's somewhere in a nursing home, curled over. With his head down near his knees, because you can't do that forever. That's why OSHA said no.
No, my knees are killing me, and I only did that for like a year. So no, that's tough.
The other thing we haven't talked about in relation to hiring other people. Now we talked about there's two options. You could pay somebody who is a door knocker who honestly is disreputable. You can hire people. Disreputable, or you can hire somebody who's just not, you know, they're not set up for it. They're not a roofer, but they're willing to do it because they gotta pay the mortgage.
Sure,
they gotta pay that truck off.
You know, unfortunately, the barriers to entry in the roofing business are not very strong.
Right.
If you have a pickup truck and a ladder, you can probably start a roofing or at least go install roofs.
The guy with the motorcycle. That just drove by.
Might have been Dave.
He had a bag of shingles. he had a bunch of shingles. All right. Is Dave back? Oh, no, it's not. It's Richard from Raleigh. Richard, how are you? Richard, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks to the guys at RoofWorks as well.
Yeah.
I have a roofing question. I've got on the back of our house, our roofing probably is about maybe over 10 years old. I've got a piece of a shingle that has come loose, and I've got a 12-tool pitch. Of course, it's pretty low, so I can get a ladder. So I wonder, instead of calling someone out, is this something I can fix myself, just a little? What do you recommend? It's just maybe a 2 or 3 foot section that's kind of turned. It looks funny. It's not right. So I just want to fix that. Can you recommend a fix for that?
It's a job that you could tackle yourself. However, given the 12-12 pitch, I would not recommend that for the average homeowner.
That's very steep?
That's steep.
That's really steep.
Is it near the end, like you could reach it from the gutters?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and it's at the lower end of the 12-12, and I got a 4-12. So the 4-12, I actually was on the roof this morning in front of the house cleaning it off, but of course try to be careful. But I can get a ladder. I can walk on the 4-12, and it's right there where I can reach my hands. It's very reachable. I just didn't know. Do you recommend some kind of epoxy or some kind of glue or something, or do I put a nail gun up there, or do I call somebody?
You certainly don't need a nail gun, but you could reattach the shingle with nails. I would recommend roof cement under the shingle that you replace that kind of seals the two together. But I guess more importantly, if you have a professional look at it, we could determine if the original shingles were high nailed, so the shingles weren't nailed in the proper spot, which is what's leading to your shingle sliding out.
If it was high nailed, it wasn't nailed on the line, correct?
That's correct.
Is that what you
it doesn't
mean?
Catch both parts of the laminated shingle.
Yeah.
And so it just doesn't have the same holding power.
Especially on a 12-12.
Right.
That's a lot of weight dragging down where
gravity,
the nail holes are.
Gravity wants to pull those down.
It is entirely possible that not only was that little section not done properly, but everything else.
Potentially.
I
certainly hope that's not the case, but it sounds like that's certainly something that a homeowner could tackle if you're fairly handy.
Yeah, these are architectural shingles, and I think the work was done very good. Local guy. It's just this section just came unglued or whatever happened. It's like a 2 or 3 foot section that's the left side has dropped down. So I guess I could just slide it up and maybe put some roofing cement. Paste, what do you call that?
Well, I would not rely on the roof cement to hold that shingle in place. It needs to be nailed.
Okay.
Yeah, the roof cement is to help kind of bond it and help with any potential leaks. But
really the sealant, you know, protects against wind forces lifting those shingles up.
Right.
Okay. I mean, to me, this is a very small job to bring somebody out. I mean, I'm a kind of do-it-yourselfer anyway. We'll try to do it carefully, of course, on the roof. But so you said roofing, just a couple of roofing nails.
Inch and a quarter roofing nails. So you're going to want to pry the tab up above it and then re-nail that shingle in place and then put some roofing cement where the shingles lay over each other. But, you know, we have, you know, small repair crews. We'll do anything from, you know, a one-hour job, a quick fix, to, you know, re-roofing an elementary school.
You know, you got to emphasize, Richard, this is what they do. They come out and they do small repairs.
That's their foundation. The foundation of the company is repair work.
Happy to meet you.
Yeah, what separates them from so many other roofers. A lot of these guys are not going to go out and do minor repairs if it's not a full roof replacement. But as Holly has mentioned on the show many times before, these guys specialize in fixing minor repairs, building that relationship. So down the road, if you do need a new roof, you're going to call the guys you've been using for a while to come out and do the patchwork on it.
Mm-hmm.
So even minor repairs, you can reach out to RoofWorks, and these guys will help you out.
Okay. Well, let me try to tackle this. If not, I'll give you a call, and in the future, I'll certainly keep you in mind as well. I've been hearing you on the radio about every Saturday, so thank you for what you
That's
do.
Good.
We appreciate it. Best of luck.
I do want you to know that my physical therapy office, our Ortho NC, are really good. So if, on the odd chance, you fall off that roof, they'll put you back together, okay? They got doctors on one end, and they got when I ran over my knee with the car, they took care of me. It was a really easy process. So, Richard, bless you.
Thank you,
High
Dave.
Park Barn Grill gift certificate headed your way.
Well, thank
on
you so
FM
much
98.5. Yeah, you're welcome. You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the advice, and have a great day.
All right. This is Making Your Home Great, FM 98.5 and AM 680. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. This is Making Your Home Great. We are live at Roofworks, and we've got Holly Bowers back. Say hi, Holly.
Hey, guys. Hey. I'm back.
And Rich from CertainTeed, who has gifted me so many pieces of CertainTeed things. I'm so glad, including two mugs. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. How are you doing, Dave?
Good. We've got a caller with a roofing question. What do you feel? You feel like you can handle it?
I believe I can.
If you can't, the round table will go ahead and try to get this. I think it's Mary from Raleigh. Mary, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm so happy to have found you on the radio.
Oh, I'm glad you found us.
Thank you.
So what can we do for you? What question do you have that's roofing related?
Well, actually, it's about gutters. Can you handle that one, too?
Yes. Yes, we can. Well, Holly can. Yeah.
I'd like to know, we think we may have to replace our gutters. They're old and broken down, etc. What is the benefit or disadvantage of a square gutter as opposed to a half round?
Well, it's really the difference in the aesthetics, honestly. The half round is, I mean, that's the ultimate gutter system with a half round gutter system. We actually have that installed at the shop here. So if you ever want to see what it looks like in person, come by here because you have a half inch and most likely you got a 4-inch round downspout versus the seamless gutter system. You got the gutter hangers and typically you see that with a 5-inch or 6-inch with a 3x4 downspout. Some people price 2x3s, but 3x4 downspout is always the best way to go. I think the biggest thing is the difference in price. What kind of roof system do you have on the house now?
Oh, it's a mess. It's all over the place.
It's a mess?
But my friend insists that a round gutter sweeps the water away faster and therefore the debris goes with it and you don't have to clean it as often as opposed to the square one. But the difference in price is huge, and so we have a difference of opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's the half round is just a higher end gutter system all the way around. Are they pricing copper or did they give you a specific metal type product with that?
They priced copper. It said it was about $17,000, and I'm thinking I can buy a whole bunch of dresses for that.
Yeah, I think if, you know, what you need to do is let us come out there and look at it. Because also, if you put a copper gutter system on and you don't have copper drip edge,
right,
it could potentially have, it is going to have a chemical reaction with that copper gutter system. So I just, let us come out there and take a look at it. That's a lot of money to be spending on the gutter system. I'm assuming you probably have a higher end roof product on. Maybe, do you have slate or something of that sort, like synthetic roofs?
No.
What's on?
It's my friend is an engineer, and engineers, yes.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm just exploring right now, but if we decide to go forward, we'll give you a call.
Yeah, and that, like I said, a half round is a beautiful system. Just make sure that if you're going to install that copper that you've got the other components that aren't going to end up having a reaction to each other. But, I mean, half round is half round. If you've got the money to spend on it, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking for beauty. I'm looking for utility.
And okay. Well,
I just wondered if there's any difference in, I mean, if you put on a gutter guard, it seems to me that, you know, water flows where it's allowed. So,
right.
You know, square might just work as well.
Yeah, and they're gonna work the same way regardless whether you do a half round system or you do your standard 6-inch gutter system, to be honest
okay.
with you. It's just a matter of look, and that's really what differentiates them the most. You can do
okay.
gutter guards. On the half round, it's going to be a different type of gutter guard protection mm-hmm. system versus the K-style, which is your standard. That's going to you got quite a few more options on that end.
Okay.
With leaf protection. But like I said, just give us a call. If you want a second opinion, let us come out and take a look at it, and we'll give you some different options to work with based on different price points.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, hang on. Don't nobody say anything. My gosh, that was a tornado.
That was a bullet train. Did
it
you see
sounded,
how fast that flew
it
by?
It sounded yeah. just like a train.
What are we in, Japan?
I know. Well, Mary, it's a good, better, best option. That's really what you need. And that way you can compare the difference between what you're buying into versus what are some of the other options that you have.
Okay. Well, I think I was obscured by the train, but I certainly appreciate your expertise and the time that you gave to answer the question. So thank you so much.
You know, Mary, if you're not completely sure on what to do, make an appointment with Holly or someone else. I'm asking.
Yeah,
Holly
just give
this.
Us a call and I'll get one of the guys that are on the gutter team out there
yeah.
to take a look at it. Seth is great. He's our gutter division manager, and he can certainly come out and he's going to be super honest with you, tell you what you need, what you can and what you can't do, and give you some options for you to work with.
Would it help
okay.
if she took a picture of her house?
I think we definitely need to see it in person. That's
yeah.
always better for us to do that than try to just estimate ballpark without putting
sure.
our eyes on it. Because, again, foundation, we need to see what the downspouts are. We need to see what that whole system looks like right now to put it back together in the right way.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And like I said, if we decide to go forward, we'll give you a call.
Okay, sounds great. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Mary. We are sending you a High Park gift certificate. High Park, the place for lunch and dinner. I've been informed that it is one of the best lunches around. And
oh,
they
well,
get
wonderful.
The food right there to you fast. I only go on Saturdays when there's a leftover High Park gift certificate. I just pick it up. That's not true.
Well, I think that's very smart of you to do that.
It is. It is. Like, for instance, this one right here, I'm nowhere near the radio station. I don't know how I would get it back to the radio station. I might as well what?
Yes. Well,
might as well just go.
Might as well just go. Mary, thank you very much for the phone call.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
All right. All right, bye-bye. Rich from CertainTeed is here. Talk to me about CertainTeed. Obviously, you're in favor of it. You think it's a good product. Prove it to me.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that it's wonderful to be able to be here today to celebrate the 18th year of RoofWorks and speaking to CertainTeed. Actually, tomorrow will be my 21st year with CertainTeed. So
wow.
I'm kind of upon a celebration of my own. But CertainTeed for me to come to work for them was an easy decision. CertainTeed, they have the most resources for training and educating than any other manufacturer that I've been associated with in a steep slope environment. So they
yeah.
care very much, not just about the quality of what they're doing, but the quality of what their installers are doing when they're installing the roof. So
yeah.
it's a balance that you just don't typically see in manufacturing, because manufacturing is manufacturing, installation is installation. CertainTeed cares about the process from beginning to end because they want the end user, the person that has the roof installed, to end up getting a good roof installed by a good contractor.
Yeah.
That's why you don't really see us in the big box locations. We sell directly through wholesale suppliers.
Right.
And we make sure that our product's getting in the hands of the professional installers.
You're not all that keen on people doing this themselves, DIY.
Yeah, as I said offline, getting on a roof can be a slippery slope.
Next thing you know, you're you're doing the plumbing, and yeah.
Yeah, you could go for a ride. You can end up on the ground pretty quickly. So yep. There's a lot of safety involved in roofing. Your installers need to be tied off. They gotta be following all the safety protocols. You just don't get up there and start throwing shingles on.
Right.
It's a dangerous trade. It can be. But if you're doing all the right things from a safety standpoint, it's not. But going back to CertainTeed on the quality side of the equation as it relates to manufacturing, they actually measure everything they do to the finest detail.
Yeah.
We're ISO 9001, and in doing that, we track everything we make down to the finest detail, as I said.
Right.
So on every shingle that we have a release tape. That release tape's primary function is to not allow the sealant to activate in the bundles. But it also serves another purpose for us because we have a tracking code where we can determine where we made it within an hour of production.
Yes.
Not only that, but we put our name on there over and over again. So we're letting you know, 20 years from now, if you happen to go up there and lift up the shingle, it's CertainTeed. You don't have to guess, like, what could this possibly be? It's on every single shingle over and over again. And again, we track it down to the hour of production. It has our ASTM D3462 tear test, which is 1,700 grams of pressure.
Does.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be on the test later, by the way.
If you didn't have that, I would have suggested it, but go ahead.
Yeah, and they do that on an Elmendorf tear tester, if you care to know.
Elmendorf.
Named
went after, with the Elmendorf, right?
Yeah, named after Elmendorf himself.
I was gonna go with the Schwiggens, but you say Elmendorf.
Yeah, Elmendorf is much better than the Schwiggens.
Okay, if you say so.
So stick with Elmendorf.
Okay, so the theory on putting the date and hour of manufacture is that just that one day, 15 years ago, something went wrong between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Yeah?
Yes, but the reality is in most cases, if you have a manufacturing defect, it manifests really early.
It does.
It's a rare occasion you come across something that's manufacturing related 10 years, 12, 15 years down the road. It happens, but it's rare.
Yeah.
So we do it because we want to be able to catch anything that we do that's substandard, we want to get ahead of that.
Yeah.
We want to be able to go back to the person that was on the line when that product was produced. We want to go back into the yard to see if any of that other product's out there so we can get it.
Right.
We even want to go to our distributors if we can figure out if any of this product that was produced at this particular time shipped to this particular distributor. We want to be able to go there and say, hey, do you have this product? We put a date and a time stamp on every single bundle that we have on the side. We can tell you, I mean, you can go out and look at the bundle and say, okay, this was made at 3:15 on May the 5th.
Right.
And the bundle's down at 3:16, 3:17, 3:18, all the way down. Of course, it takes 3.5 minutes to make a pallet of shingles, by the way. Which is 16 squares.
Three and a half minutes to do a pallet?
Yeah, so if you go to the plant in Oxford, North Carolina, also we're local.
That's good.
It's the largest deep slope plant in the world, by the way. It's quite the sight to see. But, yeah, if you watch it coming down the line, we'll stack up a pallet of 16 squares in about 3.5 minutes. That's a lot of roofing.
Whoa, yeah, it is.
And think that we have the capacity to ship between 200 and 225 trucks a day if we're at full capacity and shipping at our highest level.
Well, that's good.
You learned a lot, huh?
So I do learned a lot. But what's that manufacturer, the time stamp thing?
The time stamp thing?
Yeah.
It's like a born-on date, you know, something like what Budweiser used to do.
Yeah, but what's the manufacturer? Because the Schmiedel is much better.
Oh, you're talking about the tear testing. That's the Elmendorf tear tester.
Holly,
Elmendorf.
I would never learn that.
We actually have a deconstructor up at the Oxford Quality Insurance Lab, too, where we can deconstruct a shingle. I think we got it from Wile E. Coyote.
it's
an ACME deconstructor.
Yeah, I've seen those in the show.
Yeah, it's an adaptation from Marvin the Martian's disintegrator gun.
Correct.
Yeah.
All facts.
And why would you destroy perfectly good shingles?
We want to be able to, at times when we're doing our quality testing, we'll take a shingle that's finished and we'll deconstruct it down and make sure that everything's the way it ought to be. We do a lot. We do simulated weather testing in the quality lab. We do a lot of different things to make sure that we're having consistent quality coming out of the plant.
Right. That's great. I mean, that's why that's what they do to cars. They throw a dummy in it and right. run it into a wall to make sure all the airbags are working. So it's quality control. I love that.
Yeah. All right. We're talking with Rich from CertainTeed, Holly Bowers from RoofWorks, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, and me, Dave Alexander, from the radio station. But we're on the road at RoofWorks this afternoon on FM 98.5 and AM 680 WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680 WPTF. This is Making Your Home Great. We've got Rich from CertainTeed, Holly Bowers from RoofWorks, and we are at RoofWorks. So glad to be here this afternoon. Thanks for inviting us. Yes.
Thanks.
We're going to have to have
mic check.
Yeah, mic check. Hello.
Am I on?
We hear you.
I'm on. Thanks for coming out. No, we're super excited, though. This is a special day for us to be out here, bring the show, get all the people out here. If it wasn't for our whole team, we wouldn't be here right now. So.
19 years.
It's 18. Yeah. It's 18. 18 this year. Yep.
That's great.
Kind of a unique year to celebrate, but.
Oh, no. Throw a party every year.
I know. There's some big reasons this year to do it, and especially for Boss Man and Will.
We don't
necessarily. Inspiration this year.
We don't necessarily go directly to CertainTeed, do we? Or do you most of the time tell a customer, you know, I got this brand that's really good?
Yeah, what? I think customers find the brands different ways. I mean, they do their own research, and then obviously you have contractors that have the brands that they recommend and work with. They can go through distribution. You see some of the brands at some of the big box stores like Chris was talking about. So
yeah.
I think it's you kind of have to look at it from a different lens because everybody's finding these materials
right.
different places. It's really not cut and dry, if that makes
right.
sense.
When you, Rich, go through a big box store buying a handful of wing nuts and you go through the roofing section, what's your reaction?
That's an interesting question. That's an interesting question. Well, obviously I work for CertainTeed, so there's a bias there, right?
Yeah.
So in some ways, I kind of feel bad for the consumer that's buying the products because they don't really have any choices to make. You
right.
know, they basically say, here it is. You know, this yeah. is what we have. And they buy it, and they just don't know what they're getting. They don't know the ins and the outs. And that's
right.
why it's important to go through the professional contractor because they're working off of what they understand the product to be.
Yep.
And they're also working off of their experience in using different products. RoofWorks hasn't used only CertainTeed all the time, so
right.
they know what experiences they have had with different products, and then they can measure that against what CertainTeed has to offer and make good decisions about what they're going to recommend to their clients. So it's not just about
yes.
the product itself. It's about their experience with the product. You know, how are warranty claims handled? How often do we have an issue?
Yeah.
And if we do have that issue, what happens?
Right.
And so they've lived those moments, not with just our product, with others. And they know that we're going to be there for them.
There is a process that you prefer, which is picking up the phone, talking to RoofWorks. And then they'll figure it out. The other process is going to the big box store, buying the materials, having them delivered, and looking for someone to install them. Mm-hmm. Now, there might be a warranty on the big box store shingles. How easy is it, Holly, to mess up the warranty on the shingles?
Well, I mean, the shingles are going to have a warranty regardless. It's really the warranty stands based on the methods that are written in the fine print. So that's where you can mess the warranty up by
yeah.
doing improper installation.
And
that's how you're going to mess it up.
You've got to have the right underlayment, right?
To get certain tiers of the warranties, yes, you have to do things a certain way. That's how it works.
Generally,
the reason why they require yes. that just like the top tier of CertainTeed's five-star warranty, they require you to do certain specifications because they know if things aren't done a certain way, that roof is not going to last. Therefore, they are not going to stand behind it because they know that best practices are best practices. They're proven methods. And so that's why they're very strict and rigid about making sure that you are sticking to those recommendations, because that way that roof system is built to last. They can stand behind it and also stand behind the contractor that is installing it.
All the boots, all the metal,
not
got to be replaced.
Yeah, I mean, the penetrations, that's different, but flashing is absolutely required to have your, the flashing has to be replaced in order to qualify for the five star. That's the way it goes.
Right.
Because they know flashings are the most vulnerable areas. And I know a lot of people say flashings could be pipe boots, but flashings is flashings. It's anything that's got that penetration that is going to have an area of water intrusion. So in order to get that warranty, you have to strip that roof completely down and reinstall everything. That's the only way you're going to qualify.
Rich, why is that?
Well, first of all, from what she's saying, stripping down to the actual substrate, you have you clearly see the substrate and the conditions that it's in. So if we're going to be offering a SureStar Plus 5-star warranty, where we're going to be covering not only our materials, but also the flashings and also their workmanship.
Right.
We want them to deconstruct the roof down to the deck.
Right.
Evaluate the deck. Is it in good working order? Are there pieces of substrate that need to be replaced, or does it all need to be replaced?
Yeah.
And so then they're starting with a clean canvas, and they can build up from there, and we're going to be ensured that now we're going to be installing all new underlayment, whether it be the waterproof underlayment that goes into the sensitive areas of the roof, ice and water shield, we call it,
right,
winter guard, or whether it be the synthetic underlayment being our roof runner, our diamond deck, and then they're putting in our starter that goes with the shingle that they're installing. They're going to install our shingles. They're going to install our ventilation. If ventilation is conducive for ridge vent, they'll use ridge vent. They'll use what's necessary depending on the shape and style of the roof. They're going to install the appropriate hip and ridge accessory. So you're basically giving them essentially a new roof. It's almost like they just rebuilt the house. I mean, you think about a roof. The roof protects everything that's in the house. Everything that's important to you is protected by that roof. And so many people, they don't look at it that way. They cut corners on the most important part of your overall structure.
Okay, I looked for a home a couple of years ago. And I literally looked at a home that had a metal roof above a shingled roof. And the way I could see it, I would stand at the base and look up, and I could see the shingles underneath the metal roof at the edge. Talk me out of this, Holly.
What, you're saying a layover where you install a roof over a roof?
You know, it's, honestly, I got to admit, that's I'm a lazy contractor.
You're talking about your brother.
I'm not going to, right, like my brother,
I know,
who put a metal roof on top of an asphalt roof.
I mean,
and he thought it was perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's, people do it all the time. It's, but the whole thing is, why would you? It does not cost hardly anything to strip the roof down and throw it away and just start over. You cannot see what the roof deck looks like if you're putting a new roof over an existing roof.
Okay.
How are you going to flash properly? You can't, because you have, you're not down to the substrate, like Rich said.
Right.
And when you do a repair, when you run into an issue, it costs double the amount of money and double or triple the amount of time to actually find that leak, because you not only have to go under the top new roof system, you have to tear out the bottom roof system, and it's just a mess. Like, it doesn't even make sense for you. You're not saving money in the long run for you to do that. And anybody that's recommending that is not giving you, they're not giving you the best advice. The best advice is strip it down and start over.
And anybody who's looking to buy a house, I can tell you the address if I had a better memory. If you see a roof over roof, maybe consider the other 19 things that are for sale that day.
Yeah.
It's not a good practice.
It's not. And like I said, it does not, you're not saving hardly anything by not tearing that roof system.
If you ever see the people tear off a roof, it is like party day. They're loving it. It is the most, it really is the most fun they're going to have. because eventually they're getting down on their knees.
Right.
At one point, they're just using hand tools and scraping it off, and that's fun. So go ahead and do it because they're willing to do it. Holly, we got 1 minute left. What message do you want to leave for people with?
Well, give us a call. We always want to help you out. That's what we're here for, celebrating with our awesome team. It's been a great 18 years and counting, and we definitely love to have your business. You know, we always want to do good work. That's what we're here for.
You're willing to, in fact, anxious to empty people's gutters?
Yeah.
To repair minor things?
We do it all. Just call us, and if we can't help you, we'll let you know that we can, and we'll recommend you to somebody that can.
Very good. Rich from Certainty, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
All right. We're about to wrap up the party, but I want you to consider RoofWerks. The website is?
It's roofwerks.com, or you can call us at 919-852-2660. And we've got storms coming in, so we're here to help.
This is Making Your Home Great. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF.
Your information station. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. Raleigh, Durham, Gary, Chapel Hill. A Curtis Media Group station.